B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Yes, 4 o'clock in Delaware Valley, a couple minutes after. 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. Brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, your grade A jaws-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. All right, of course, tonight, you can come out and catch the Fanatic Pro Show. Brian Westbrook and Devon Givens, 6 to 7 at PJ's in Cherry Hill. And for a little preview of that show, let's bring in the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. He's brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm a little on edge today because I can't believe that this defense could allow that team to score six straight times and five of them touchdown drives that were fairly long. Can you explain that to me?
Well, not only can I not believe that, Mike, I can't believe that after the first two drives that they didn't change anything. I can't believe after the first three, four, five drives they didn't change anything. It disappoints me to see a team go out there and continue to do the same exact thing over and over and over and think that something different was going to happen. I listened to Doug Peterson's press conference earlier today, and I was just disappointed because I do think highly of Doug. I don't know that he has been the best press conference type of guy throughout his tenure there as a head coach. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I continue to get disappointed by some of the answers that he's giving, and it also kind of gives you a little bit of insight to how he motivates his football team.
That's interesting. So, now connect the dots for me there. So you're drawing a line from what he said after the game to how he coaches his football team. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, he mentioned in his press conference that the guys were in play, they just didn't execute. You know, they wasn't about the intensity; they just didn't get it done. Well, all of those things that he's talking about in that press conference. That's his job. That's his job, and his ability to control those things is really going to come down to whether he keeps his job, which I think he will. I'm not saying by any means that Doug is going to be fired, but I'm talking about in the future, whether he can keep his job or he's going to get fired in the long term. You know, how do you get your players to respond to you? How do you get your players ready for games? Are they prepared, or are they overlooking football teams looking to the next week? And it's very easy to overlook a 2-9 football team. However, when you're not very good, when you're in a place where you're 5-6 already and you're not very good as a team, you can't overlook anyone. You can't take days off from practice because you're not good enough to do that, especially if you're trying to find a continuity between your wide receivers and your quarterback. And you're trying to make sure that your offensive line can play well together. And you're trying to eliminate penalties. You can't do some of the things that we saw in the game, and it makes me question Doug's ability to continue to get through to the guys on the football team.
All right, so what would have satisfied you? What should he have said?
I don't know that he could have said anything that would have explained this football game and satisfied me. Winning the football game would have satisfied me. When you're up by 28, you're up 28-14, running the football would have satisfied me. Making a concerted effort to get Miles Sanders over 20 carries because you need to run the ball at this point would have satisfied me. Double teaming Devontae Parker would have satisfied me. All those things would have satisfied me. But all those things go towards winning the football game. And they weren't able to do that yesterday. And, you know, as much as I can blame a lot of different players, I always start at the top. And I think this is a situation where Doug Peterson not only didn't have his guys ready to play, he didn't adjust anything during the football game, and that's disappointing from a coach who I hold in very high regard.
Let's quickly look at the lack of adjustments, because they had a 28-14 lead, and the statistics are mind-boggling that when a team has a two-touchdown lead in the second half against a team that is as lowly as Miami with five or fewer wins, it's 42-0 is the record. So what did the defense not adjust to, and what should they have done
on, because they went on these long drives. It's like mind-boggling. The drives, 84, 75, 75, 61, 96. How does that happen?
Yeah, the defense couldn't make a play. They couldn't get off the field. But, you know, I think there was a couple plays to Devontae Parker that you had to find a way just to stop those plays. I mean, those are third down plays where he's just jumping up over defenders, and he's just bigger, better, and stronger on that particular day yesterday. And in my mind, the same way that if you know, we saw last night in the Patriots game, they were double-teaming Edelman. You know, they double-teamed Zach Ertz from time to time in some games. Why not double-team their best player and make Ryan Fitzpatrick throw the ball to somebody else? But why not do that?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Take away what they wanted to do well. If the idea is that they want to throw the ball to Parker and their tight end, then how about we just double-team those two guys and make someone else beat us?
You're right, and I've been saying that as well. Like, that guy is not going to beat me anymore. After the first AVI, we're not going to get beat by that guy. Like, it's so fundamental to think that way. Why don't they think that way? This is what's my... Do football coaches sometimes make it more complicated than it really is?
Well, I think that... I mean, the truth is that on both of those plays, Mills was right there. Darby was right there. I mean, they had an opportunity to go up and make the play. I think a lot of coaches say, well, we're right there. On the next one, we'll make the play. Well, what you don't factor in, if you believe that, is that Devontae Parker was just better than those guys yesterday. He just was. He was jumping higher. He was running faster. And those one-on-one 50-50 balls, he was winning every single one of them. Same thing for the tight end. And so how about we just double-team him? Make it an even harder catch. Make the degree of difficulty even higher for Fitzpatrick to be able to throw the football and for Parker to catch it. And if you can do that, then maybe they don't complete some of those balls, and maybe you have the opportunity to get the ball back to your football team. You add to that penalties on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, there's a lot of discipline type of things that I never thought that our football team would be experiencing under Doug Peterson. And, you know, to me, that all falls at Doug Peterson's feet, and especially in this football game.
All right. Now, your big show is coming up tonight. Last question, because this team, that lost, it's the third in a row, and they lost to two decent teams. A loss to a team like that shows me that this team has a broken soul. I don't know if you take it that far, but when you have a broken soul, it really takes a long time to rebound and rebuild something when your soul is broken. And I think that game broke their soul yesterday. What do you think?
You know, I think losing three in a row certainly hurts. I think losing in that fashion, you got to start looking around the locker room like, okay, well, we have to figure out a different way to do it. Not only do I think it kind of broke their soul in a way, I think the identity that they thought they were, where we were kind of underdogs, we could come back and beat teams like this, that also damages that. You know, this team, in theory, was better than the Miami Dolphins. But to go down there and get beat up and lose in the fashion that they did, they've lost their identity just a bit. And I still don't know that they had an identity offensively or defensively prior to this football game. I'll tell you this. They had a great opportunity with Miles Sanders averaging 4.9 yards per carry to dominate another team at the line of scrimmage, which they were doing with the run game. They didn't want to commit to it. They didn't want to believe in it because Doug has this infatuation with throwing the football with Carson Wentz 46 times. That's not how you're going to win games in November and December. Doug has been around this league long enough. He understands it. He should know this already. That's going to be a problem in the future.
All right, Brian, have a great show tonight. Tonight, the Fanatic Pro Show, Brian Westbrook with Devon, 6 to 7, PJs and Cherry Hill Pro Show, presented by 19 Crimes Wine and Rudder Roofing. We'll look forward to tonight's show, Brian.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, there he is. Now, again, he's a running back, so obviously he's going to look at that. Here's the way I look at this. In general, I think that the people that are saying they should have run the ball and had more balance is correct. In that game yesterday, if you get more possessions by getting off the field, then maybe you can run the ball a little bit. They weren't getting off the field. To me, it's primarily the defense not getting them off the field so they could do some things on offense. And people say, well, you know, Mike, your defense gets tired out. I mean, well, the Miami Dolphins offensive line, they weren't tired. They were on the field blocking for that many plays, that many long drives. They weren't getting tired. You got to get them off the field.
And it's funny you say that, Mike. What happens if when they start at the 4-yard line?
That's what I mean. It's
they
like,
punt. You do a like, 3-and-out. They punt. The Eagles have the ball at the 50. They may run the ball from the 50-yard line if you stop them from driving 96
exactly.
yards.
Exactly. When you allow a team to get 85, 75, 75, 61, 96 yards, you're telling me that the major problem is that your offensive balance wasn't any good? I mean, in a game like that, to me, it was secondary to what the real problem was, which is they had 28 points on the board and a 2-touchdown lead in the third quarter. It's now your defense's game. Chris and Manioc, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Chris?
Trying to figure out the cause of this derailment. And it seems like 2 years ago, you know, there was every aspect of the team stepped up every week and made big plays that won the game. And this year, it seems like the whole organization is playing like it's afraid to lose instead of trying to win. I know there's parity in the NFL, but it seems like Atlanta, Detroit, New England all should have been victories. I think this goes back to playing and not playing in preseason hard enough. And I'm just curious what you think.
I don't know about the preseason thing. I think that's a convenient excuse. There are a lot of teams that didn't play in preseason. So, no, I don't agree that them not playing in preseason
set
this thing up. The injuries were a cause of derailing what they thought they had. But I just think, you know, in retrospect, that they were misguided in thinking that guys were going to play at the same level as they had been in the past. And there were older guys that did not do that. And they crossed their fingers on their cornerbacks all year. Like, they told you that they thought they were going to be good enough at corner. They clearly weren't.
Yep.
And they squandered a lot of that season with that problem back there. Now, here's the thing. They look like they settled it because they were playing a more consistent defense in the last couple of games, and then that thing goes kablooey. So I'm confused. Sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I am too. I can't figure it out. I feel like a Transportation Safety Bureau investigator here today trying to figure out how we went from thinking we were so good at the beginning of the year to being struggling at this point.
Now,
I blame the coaching.
You're right. Now, I think that Brian just made a good point that when your team plays undisciplined at this stage of the year, you're not a well-coached team. You know, like the Jernigan plays and the pass interference plays and all these stupid things that they did, they should be buttoned down if they were a good team.
Yeah.
All right, Chris.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. I want to hear, can I hear Doug talk about the, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, what he could have said that would have appeased the fan base. Can we go to the trick play? Can we go? Because this is, I think that this is where he loses trust with the fan base. When he tries to justify something that's unjustifiable. Can we hear that soundbite on the trick play?
Are there unscouted trick plays? That's why they're called trick plays for a reason, because they're unscouted, right? And gadget-type plays. And so are there those plays that every team has? Yes, there are, and they work on them throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, see, that's a lot of gobbledygook. But when he said, we played it a little earlier, where about him not calling a timeout there. And in retrospect, when you got to bite the bullet sometimes and admit, because the whole world knows that you screwed up there.
Okay.
And unless you admit you screwed up, then people, this is where you're going to lose some trust. All right, let's hear that.
Even if you call a timeout right there, okay, they could still break the formation and line up exactly the same way. We don't know what they were going to run, right, because the play didn't show. So, you know, it kind of goes either way that way.
You see, that's where he loses the fan base. It kind of goes either way. What, that doesn't even make any sense. You're not willing to bite the bullet on something that everybody looked at and said, that's a foolish thing that you just did. And when the whole world knows and your whole family, you got to bite that bullet.
Like, you should have said, you know what? We were confused on that play. That's on me. I should have called a timeout, straightened us out there. End of story. I screwed that up. Now you gain a little credibility with your fan base. When you talk around it, like what are you trying? Well, if we call a timeout, they would have done something. It makes no sense. And that's where you lose. That's where he should have realized what he was saying there.
You're right. It's odd. And had he done that after the game, it's still bad, but he hadn't had a time to sleep on it. He goes home. It was a 1 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back noon the next day. He had to know that the trick play thing, because it's now happened 3 games in a row, was going to come up. He has to know that ahead of time and have an answer, like you just said, ready. He could have said, we should have been ready against the Patriots. We should have been ready for the flea flicker against Seattle. And now this one with the punter throwing to the kicker. There's a way to say that to make people feel better. And he has to know that question's coming because it's 3 games in a row. Yet it's almost like these questions are coming at him and he has no idea that they're coming. You know what I mean? Like he didn't expect to be asked about
that. Yeah, and that's where, again, the things have changed. Westbrook and I were talking about this earlier. He was in the era where coaches were coached what to say. Because the PR people knew exactly how the press and what fans were thinking and how the press was going to come at him because of what the fans were thinking. And he goes, okay, you're going to get asked about this play. Here's what you need to say on this to lighten the load. And what you do here is that, yeah, that's my response. Andy Reid was, that's my response, but I take responsibility for that. Right? Yeah.
And people can get mad at him about that, but you know what he did? He protected his guys. He told, and it is right. The truth, the head coach, it is his job. I should have had us better prepared for that. If he says that, then man, people are mad. Why weren't you? But at least you admit this was. Instead, he's almost like, why would I call timeout? What do you mean?
Exactly.
No big deal.
He's telling the world who knows better that it wouldn't have mattered that I called timeout when the whole world knows it would have. So you're not going to gain any credibility with your fan base
if
you say that.
0% chance with a punter behind and the kicker on the field that you call timeout and they go back in the same set. There's no way. And if they do, so what?
Yeah, right. Even if they do, you have now coached it.
Yes.
Okay, here's what they can do off of this play. All right, they're going to run that. They're going to give us that much of a gap. Well, you got two guys that will fill that gap. If they're thinking of doing some kind of wildcat action, that prevents that. What's he going to do? Drop back and throw a pass? Probably not. So, you know, there's certain parameters you go over in that situation.
And it's 11 on 11, so you assign a guy. If he still lines up in the backfield, Josh Sweat, you go straight for him. That's your man.
And they got the kicker in the formation, and he's not kicking it. So, I mean, there might be something up with that guy.
Cover him.
Stick
to him.
Pay attention to that little dude. He, you know, if I'm a linebacker, hit him off the line. You know, knock him out. You know, just pay attention.
They got the tablets, too. They could have worn. See this on the tablet? Boom, they get the tablets right there. The tablets are on the sideline. Hey, everybody, huddle up. Look at the tablet.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
He didn't do himself any favors with that answer. Let's go Bernie in Minersville. Bernie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bernie?
Hey, well, that's what you alluded to. Yeah, you should take some time out. You know, that straight play, if you analyze it really quick, the punter rolls to his left. If they put 3 people, one over the center and one on each side, you think that punter's going to push that ball out or do anything but panic and probably get creamed?
Exactly.
They would have stopped that play dead.
Exactly. But what happened? The whole defense was stunned by the formation and didn't know how to react until they played right into their hands, which is what the exact way they wanted them to react, where they rush, panic rush them, and then the guy slips out and's wide open.
Yeah, it's probably a microcosm of the whole season as far as making adjustments. Timeout's called. If they come back out in that formation, obviously you're going to tell your players what to do if they see it again. No adjustments. You know, I'm tired of seeing the same thing over and over with the coaches not making adjustments. The week before you have a 3rd and 1, instead of getting up under center and running something, a quick dive, or at least have the quarterback sneak, what do? We're running a drop play out to the outside where the defensive end crashes in and blows the whole play up. And it's been that way the whole entire season. It just seems like the coaches are not making the adjustments they need to make.
No, I agree with you. They have not been a great on-the-fly thinking. But see, what confused me yesterday, the defense had been adjusting on the fly. The defense had been pretty buttoned down over the last couple of weeks, even though they lost those games. They showed some kind of consistency. And that's what I relied on for the rest of the season against these bad teams. When your defense is consistent, there's no way a bad team should beat you.
Right. They shouldn't beat you. But again, they're alluding to what Brian Westbrook said. Why aren't we double-teaming Devontae Parker coming down the sideline and he's catching the ball and we're there to begin with?
We talked about that earlier. That's like, you know, don't let that guy beat you. So that's why you intentionally walk people in baseball. That's why you double a guy in basketball. You know, that guy's not going to beat me. And the same mentality should apply. Now, Devontae Parker's had an up-and-down career, really. He's got ability. But early on, it looked like this was his game. You could tell that early on, right? So you allow him to just kick your butt all game long.
With no adjustment.
Yeah.
And these corners were stinking against them. Mm-hmm. Just change it up. Double them all the way around the field.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the broadcast?
Horrendous. Not only were the announcers horrendous, the production value was horrendous. There was multiple times where they got the down and distance wrong, which you never see. So clearly they got the D crew as far as announcing or worse, and they sent the bad production crew down.
Well, Rhonda F-bombed. You hear that?
No, I didn't hear the F-bomb.
You didn't hear it?
No, I didn't hear the F-bomb.
Yes. Oh. He F-bombed.
Really?
Yes.
And then who was that sideline reporter?
Was it Peter Schrager?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. He's on their NFL, like the NFL Network.
Come on.
You didn't hear the F-bomb?
No. I haven't even heard about it.
It was a major story.
I didn't even know. Well, I got to find it now.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
Used as an adjective.
Not good, Ron.
Natalie, did you hear that?
I must have missed
it. You missed that, too?
I must have.
I actually think it's on Philadelphia Inquirer website. It has story on it.
I'm fine.
And they had the audio. We can't play the audio.
No.
No.
But other than him calling Carson Palmer twice, and then he called Fitzpatrick number 15 when he's number 14.
Yeah, it's just the Barber brothers, just enough with both of them. Just enough. Neither one, just enough with both of you. You have enough money.
Well, you missed that F-O. It was clear.
Tiki doesn't have enough money because of the divorce.
Yeah.
But Rondé does. Just go home.
All right, 610-622-0975, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Let's get an update on our Twitter poll. Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Miss Natalie Eganoff. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,400 votes on this one today. Should someone lose their job after yesterday's loss to the Dolphins? 89% say yes, 11% say no.
All right. Now, there are a lot of people that are making the case that why should Doug Peterson get a grace period? And the one thing I said is that Lurie is not an impulsive owner like that. That's going to fire a guy 2 years after winning a Super Bowl. The guy that called about Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is one of the guys I cited who might be impulsive enough. But when he fired Jimmy Johnson, there was a rift between two men. As far as personnel goes, it was personal and all that stuff. And Johnson wanted to get out. And that's, you know, it wasn't the same situation as this would be. Can you imagine Lurie, who's a kind of a caring soul? You know, he's not a cutthroat dude that would do that.
No, and the other part is they came, so they win the two Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's saying that Jimmy Johnson is a genius because of what he had done in Miami before. Jerry thought he wasn't
like that.
Right, he didn't think he was getting enough credit for it.
Right.
So then when it came time for personnel decisions, Jimmy thought he should have more power because he's like, look at these guys.
Yes.
Jerry thought he should have it.
It was a completely different situation.
Completely different. Yes. So then the next year, they don't win the Super Bowl. And then the following year, they win the third one and their last one with Switzer, all with Jimmy's players. And they have not won with Jerry's players since.
No. And how many owners have the personality of Jerry Jones that are in the league? Hardly any of them.
And none of them win.
Right.
None of them, like Snyder has it, he never wins.
Snyder does.
I'm saying very few, and they never win.
No, they're not like a guy who has won the Super Bowl is not going to get fired.
And then he follows it with a playoff win. So this would be the first year where he'd be quote-unquote back, because the first time he had a rookie quarterback, brand new, you're not going to fire him in. Wins the Super Bowl, gets back to the playoffs, wins a playoff game on the road. You're not going to fire him after one. Right. Nowhere would he get fired.
Now, has he done a good job this year? No, I don't think he has. And he needs to be judged accordingly. I'm not trying to bag off the guy. The guy should be judged. I don't think he's a great thinker. I'll be honest with you. And we thought that when he first took over that he wasn't a great thinker. And all of a sudden they caught fire. And I'm sure he had a lot to do with them winning the Super Bowl. But I look at him right now. I go, sometimes he comes off as dense when he's coaching a football team in live action. Let's go to Brian on a cell. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, Mike. How you doing today?
What's up, Brian?
Hey, Mike, I got a talent challenge for you, but first I want to go to the point where that trick play by Miami, that, in my view, was just Peterson's arrogant that no coach is going to make me take a timeout while I don't want to. I'm the guy that makes other coaches take a timeout.
Yeah, in the meantime, they've run three trick plays on his butt.
Yeah.
So maybe it's his time for a timeout.
Yeah, I hear you. And then Miami helped him out with the first touchdown with the first play interception, then to start the second half off with an onside kick.
They made, I tweeted, this game could be 42-0. The way Miami came out, they were like a joke, like the plays they made early in that game.
It was bad. It looked like Chip Kelly's playbook or something.
It was. I go, this is going to be an easy game. And all of a sudden, bang.
I hear you. Well, you know, it's any given Sunday, though. Cincinnati, Washington, and Miami went in on the same day.
Yeah, well, the Bengals, good for them.
Hey, Mike, my talent challenge, and I went over every team in the NFL. I don't think there's a team in the NFL that has less talent at wide receiver than the Philadelphia Eagles.
You're probably right.
Some teams, their third guy would be a starter on the Eagles. I mean, look at the receivers Tampa Bay has, Atlanta has, and for some reason they can't get it together. You give Carson Wentz these receivers like that, it ain't Carson Wentz. It's the talent. You got to have some kind of guys to throw the ball to 40, 50 yards downfield.
Yeah, they miscalculated that position.
Big time. Now,
Jeffrey showed up yesterday. I'll give him credit.
Could you imagine having Mike Evans and your boy from Penn State running routes for Carson Wentz's arm?
Chris Godwin?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty good player.
Or Julio Jones and Ridley running some patterns for him.
Yeah, they need to upgrade that. No question.
Big time, Mike. That's the whole problem.
Now, they thought they were covered. You know, their intentions were good, I guess. Deshaun Jackson obviously couldn't play, and it remained to be seen whether he would be over a full season at his age, whether he would have been as productive. But when they lined it up, you had Deshaun as the counter to Alshon Jeffrey, and you had Ertz and the double tight with the 12 personnel. It looked okay. And that one domino fell, and it kind of cracked it apart. And what we realized about Jeffrey is that he's age hit him,
and he got hurt. They got hurt in that same game. That Atlanta game turned into the house of horrors for all three wide receivers because it really effectively ended Deshaun's season. Alshon got the calf that he's never fully recovered from. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and think maybe it's that more than just the age. Mm-hmm. That calf's not right. And that's the beginning of Aguilar's issues. He had that lost in the lights drop, and he's been kind of down ever since. And that Atlanta game changed the whole season week two.
Here was my Twitter game yesterday, Tyra.
Yeah.
First of all, I started out before the game with this one. I loathe the Fox pregame show.
Yes.
That was my first one of the day. And I really do. I hate every person on that panel.
And what's weird is one guy's not really hateable, But I hate the show.
Tony Gonzalez, not hateable.
No, I hate him. I don't hate Chris Long.
I hate Howie Long, but he's at the top of my list.
To me, he's not hateable.
I hate him.
I've always hated Gonzalez. When he beat Villanova, and you know I don't like Villanova, I still hated him then.
All right. Second thing is, this Dolphins team, yikes. Interception on first play. No coverage on the touchdown, where Miles Sanders went unmolested.
Yeah.
Sack. False start on punt. Bad punt. Game is about a minute old. And then I go, oh my God, this game could be 42-0. And then bang, they hit the touchdown on 4th-and-4. And I go, where did that play come from?
Parker on the sideline, just beasting Darby. He just beasted Darby on that touchdown.
And then it was downhill. In fact, this Eagles team, not burying this bad team, is ridiculous.
Well,
and they let them hang. But I never thought they were going to lose. 610-632-0975. And I had to throw Nikki Foles tweet in there. I'm sorry, you Folesian people. He got benched at halftime.
How's everyone doing?
But announced that he's lost his job. So, he made his money.
But if he would have stayed.
Any thoughts, Nat?
No, I mean, I knew this was going to happen.
Gardner Minshew is back as a star.
For the rest of the year, too.
Yeah.
They made it clear. The locker room was calling for it.
They gave Nikki a short rope.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, he had 3 turnovers yesterday, early.
Oh, the Folesian society is hurting.
I legitimately feel bad for Nick Foles.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know how I feel about the Folesian society, so I'm in a tough spot. I actually do legitimately feel bad for Nick Foles. You go down there, not a great situation, you get hurt, and all this happens. I do feel bad for him.
Yeah.
But those fans, eat it. All of you.
All right. More calls after this. Mike Missinelli Show, radio, TV.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
At Mike Missinelli Show. All right, so you found that Rodney Barber thing? He was talking about Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
And he says, he bleep it in a double back. He finds ways to get things done. That's what he said.
Yeah. He's.
The other thing that disturbs some people in the broadcast, you know, sometimes you catch a sideline and you never know why, but Wentz was laughing with some people on the sidelines.
Yeah, so what that was, the timing was, they had just got the field goal and they were preparing for the onside kick. And I think he was talking to the offense and they were laughing about something because they could have possibly gotten the ball back.
Yeah.
But I know people didn't like it, but that was the context.
Did not like that.
But that was the context. They had just got the field goal, and now if they get the onside kick, we can go win the game, if you notice the time on it.
It does look bad when you're losing to the Dolphins and they had just shot the sideline, the quarterback laughing with somebody. I get it, why people would be upset, but you always have to put it in context.
That's all. The context was they had just got the field goal, almost got the touchdown off of Ertz, but whatever. Yeah. And now, if we get this, so I thought it was almost them talking about getting the ball back and possibly scoring because they had just moved the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
That, because of the timing. Now,
no, I get it.
Had the timing been different, I'd have been madder, is what I'm saying.
We never put 5 in context. Like, no, if 5 would do something like that, we'd jump right on 5.
I put 5. Back then, I put 5 in context.
You did?
Yeah, in real time. 5 got worse to me as time went on. This early, I wasn't done with 5. I'll tell you when I got done with 5. was the Tampa game.
Uh-huh. Where he grabbed the phone? Was it the phone game?
No, I like that.
Oh, you did
that?
That
was on the Giants sideline when he grabbed the phone. I liked that during that playoff run. It was the home NFC Championship game. Rondé Barber.
Uh-huh.
That's when I turned on 5. Okay. Rondé Barber. Up until then, I was a 5 defender. The worm balls, I was like, at least it's not an interception. I found every way to defend 5.
How'd you feel about the error banjo? Did you like that?
By then, no. By then, it was after Tampa. So I was already done with it. I tried to believe in him when he got T.O. Then when he couldn't balance the T.O. thing, even though I knew T.O. was psychopath, I still blamed Donovan.
Yeah.
But get that man his money, and you have a receiver.
I hear you. The thing that got me during that T.O. thing is that when they were at training camp together and there was the rift, he sent an emissary to T.O.'s room instead of him going, manning up and going to his room.
Yeah.
He sent his brother.
Yeah, come on.
As an emissary.
Just go talk to him.
Right in the same door.
Right, just walk down there. It's down the hall.
Let's go to Jim in Redding. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Yeah, I got 2 points I want to make about the Eagles' defensive backs.
Certainly.
I took notice yesterday, Jalen Mills, he got beat twice for touchdowns by looking in the backfield at the quarterback instead of covering your man. As a defensive back, that's the first thing they teach you is cover your man. Don't look into the backfield. And that's what happened to him twice in a row where his man just ran right by him.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to take a peek to see where the quarterback, you know, what the quarterback you think he's going to do. So it's not a cardinal sin, but you can't lose sight of your man either.
Okay, but I mean, like that happened like twice in a row, and they were both for touchdowns.
Yeah, he got beat by a bigger, stronger, leaper guy, and you're right. He was tardy on it,
but he wasn't even like. When he ran by him, he wasn't even, like, close to him until he got to the end, and the guy just out-jumped him.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't well played.
And the other point I wanted to make was when Fitzgerald threw that high touchdown pass, where was his safety at? I didn't see anybody
You mean to Gesicki or the one in the corner of the end zone?
The one in the corner of the end zone where Fitzgerald...
He was late there.
He threw it up like it was a punt.
Yeah, he was late there, too.
Yeah, he was nowhere inside. I didn't even see him on the screen.
Yeah, we got to let you go, Jim, because you got your TV on in the background there. But, yes, you're very accurate about the assessment of the cornerbacks and the way they played Devontae Parker. Not well. Jose in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jose.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Jose?
How you doing, Mike? How was everybody's holiday?
That was pretty good. Mine was pretty good.
Okay.
I was on the road. I did some road trips for the holidays.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. Yeah, I just want to touch on the Eagles as a whole. A lot of people like to blame Doug Peterson and how he doesn't know how to adjust. I think he knows how to adjust. I mean, he showed that he can make adjustments during the Super Bowl and in the following playoff run. I mean, granted, they beat a tough Chicago team, but it was with Nick Foles. Now Nick Foles is struggling in Jacksonville, but don't you believe some guys like a Nick Foles, they're just system guys, like Tom Brady with Bill Belichick, system guy. It's the system, you know.
Now when it comes to Brady, you went too far.
Well, I know that, but Nick Foles.
Yeah.
But
what's your point? What's your point on this?
I think it's more. I don't think it's Peterson. I think it's Wentz. I think Wentz is a big problem of this offense because the offensive line didn't change really.
Let's look at yesterday's. This is an old argument for Wentz. Yesterday, was it Wentz's fault? Where were the adjustments not made on defense? Right.
That's right, and I believe in that. Management dropped the ball. Not getting Jalen Ramsey because they don't have a big corner to cover any of these bigger wide receivers.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I don't think Doug Peterson's had a good year adjustment-wise. Now, 2 years ago, maybe he did. This year, he has not been a good thinker on his feet.
And why would you say that?
He hasn't had really, when they needed balance, he hasn't provided balance. His team has not been prepared in games where they are clearly a better team than the other team. It's not been a good year for him as a coach.
But in a game like yesterday with the Dolphins, the Eagles are a by far superior team, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you have to blame the players because they're the ones that take the field. You can only do so much as a coach.
I get that, but they were up 28-14, and they allowed an inferior team to run long drives on them. Now, somewhere along the line, the head coach has to get with the defensive coordinator and go, we got to do something different here. They allowed a first down. We got to do something different. They didn't do anything different. That's not adjusting.
You're right about that. You are right about that.
All right, Jose. I mean, I don't know what more I can tell you. It has not been a great Doug Peterson year. It just hasn't. So, yes, did they overvalue players? No question about it. Are they short talent? No question about it. But they have lost games in this string to teams they shouldn't lose to. And, like, fresh off them losing to the Miami Dolphins, you can't say that it's Doug Peterson's fault. You know, they were up 28-14, and the defense let him down. Now, it's Doug Peterson's fault to the extent where he's not making any changes with Schwartz to stop Miami from moving the football. So, yeah, that's where his fault is. But he's not a great adjuster. All right, we're going into the 5 o'clock hour. Mike Missanelli, Show 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.